All right, welcome once again to Summer Shoreline. My name is Jermaine Harrison, if you don't know who I am, and I get to serve here on staff with the high school ministry. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've been dealing with this series called Peace. We've been talking about when we break peace or when others break peace with us, what do we do? How do we respond? And so the first week, David talked about this idea that peace is the foundation, peace with God is the foundation for peace with others. He encouraged us to partner with God in seeking peace. And then the second week, he talked about this idea that when someone else has broken peace with you, your goal should not be payback. Your goal should be peace, right? And so tonight, I would love to talk to you guys for the next few minutes on the topic of what do you do or how do you respond when you have been the one who have broken peace with someone else? How do you respond when you have broken peace? How to be a peacemaker when you've been the one who's broken the peace. And so I want to start with this story of how I got my first and only stitches in my life, right here on this right elbow. So I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I used to love watching my favorite TV shows in the afternoon after I finished basketball practice and homework. I would watch Doug, or I would watch Hey Arnold. I would watch, oh, there we go. We got Hey Arnold up there. And I would watch this other show on Nickelodeon called All That. Who's ever heard of this show? There's like seven of y'all, and mostly the adults are like, this show is so good. I loved watching this show. I love Keenan. Yeah, Keenan was the one who was on that show. And so in the evenings, I would sit on my couch, which was super far away from where the TV was in this apartment that we lived in at the time. And because I couldn't see very well, I decided to usually sit on the coffee table that was in between the couch and the television. Unfortunately, this coffee table, the top of it was made out of glass. And so I'd be sitting there on the coffee table, watching All That, laughing at the jokes. And one day I was laughing and just leaned back and crashed straight through the coffee table. And in my mind, I'm going, oh my gosh, my mom is going to kill me for breaking the coffee table. And so I rushed to the kitchen to grab a broom and a dustpan to sweep up the broken glass. And I turn around, and there is a trail of blood all along the floor. And I'm like, where is that? And so I honestly hadn't even felt that had been cut. So I'm looking all over my body to find out where this cut is. And I look to my right elbow, and I see this huge gash on my elbow. And I'm like, at first I'm like, man, this is not that bad. I don't want, you know, to get in trouble with my mom. And so I go into the bathroom and I turn on the faucet and I'm washing it off. I'm like, you know, it'll stop in a little bit. It's fine. It's fine. And I stood there in the bathroom with this humongous cut on the side of my arm. And as I did this motion, the bone that's like right on the inside of your skin was literally coming out. I'm not even exaggerating, I promise. And I'm like, it's not that bad. It's fine. It'll stop bleeding soon. I'm just about to die and I'm saying it's okay. And the reason why I start with that story is because it reminded me a lot of how we respond when we have been the ones who have broken peace with other people. You know, when I was looking around for the cause of the trail of blood, I had no idea that I was cut. Or when I went into the bathroom and tried to rinse off the blood and just try to, you know, power through it, I was saying to myself, man, you know what? It's not really that bad at all. You know, I was trying to convince myself that it was okay. And how often do you and I do that when we have been the ones who have broken peace with our friends, with people that we are in contact with all the time? And so the interns kind of helped me come up with a list of ways that high school students in Dallas, Texas, break peace with their friends, with their peers, with their family, etc. And so I'm just going to read through this list of ways that we damage and hurt the relationships that we have ways that we break peace. Number one, self-explanatory, subtweets. Number two, adding LOL onto the end of a really mean text to make it seem okay. Gossip, sarcasm, or labeling someone as, you know, the partier, the drinker, the bad kid, the good kids, etc. Holding a grudge for not being invited to some sort of social gathering. Capitalizing and exploiting on someone else's weakness. Like if they're terrible at math, you make sure you make fun of it all the time to bring them down and bring yourself up, right? Or just trying to compete with others in general. And I could go on, and I'm sure you can think of other ways that you have seen or you have yourself broken peace with another one of your friends. So here's the truth. Peace breaking is a normal part of the high school experience. In fact, it's a normal part of the human experience. Peace breaking is a normal part of the high school experience. So how do you and I make peace when we have been the cause of broken peace in our relationships? How do you and I make peace when we have been the cause of broken peace in our relationships? And so tonight I'll deal with three basic points: the why, the how, and the when of making peace when you have been a peacebreaker. Why, how, and when to make peace when you have been a peacebreaker. So if you have a Bible or if you have a phone, grab it and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is where we'll be for the duration of the evening. And it's right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, and he begins to share this, the greatest sermon ever, to all the crowds that had flocked to him because of his miracles and because he healed sickness and disease. And Jesus begins to teach them lots of important things about life. And so in relation to what we're talking about tonight, it starts in verse 21. And I'd love to read verses 21 and 22 as I make the first point for the evening. So when you've broken peace, make peace quickly with that person and with the God of peace. That's a main idea. That's a big idea that I want y'all to walk away from the message with. And here's why. The reason why we are supposed to make peace with that person and with the God of peace as quickly as possible is because when you break peace with a person, you break peace with God. And I'll explain that just a little bit more. When you break peace with a person, you break peace with God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. It says this: "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." And some of you are like, what is going on? What is Jesus talking about? What is this raka word? Like, what are we talking about? So Jesus is making the point here in these two verses that when you break peace with a person, you break peace with God. So kind of to give you the context, lots of the religious leaders in Israel at the time, they were preaching the Ten Commandments, one of which the sixth commandment is, "You shall not murder," right? And so they were telling the people, hey, as long as you don't murder someone, you're good, okay? As long as you follow these lines, these rules and regulations, you're fine. And Jesus comes on the way and he says something different. He says, not only is it dangerous and sinful to murder someone, but it's dangerous, hurtful, and sinful to have the heart attitude that could potentially lead to murder. Does that make sense? So Jesus didn't want them to just modify their behavior. He wanted to transform their heart. And so when you hate someone or when you break peace with someone else, what you are doing is causing that person to have a damaged relationship with God. You're causing that person to have a damaged relationship with God. Breaking peace disrupts our relationship with God. And I want to hone in on that point for just a little bit. So let's say you're the one who said something really hurtful or acted in a way that offended one of your friends. You broke peace with them. What Jesus is trying to say in these couple of verses is this. Because you've caused that person to be angry or you've caused that person hurt or pain, what you've done is you've damaged their relationship with me. That's God speaking. You've damaged their relationship with God, and you've also damaged your relationship with God. And also, you've damaged or hurt your testimony with the people all around who are watching you break peace in that moment. Does that make sense? God is so concerned with wholeness of relationship that he says, hey, if you break peace with that person and cause them to be angry and cause them to be hurt, you're messing up their relationship with me, and that is a problem. So why is it such a big problem? It's because every person is an image bearer of God. In other words, every person has been created by the creator of the universe, and they are uniquely wired, uniquely gifted, given emotions and will. And God is saying, when you cause one of my creations to be hurt or to be angry, what you are basically causing them to do is to say, man, God, your creation, your good creation isn't good. And that's why peace breaking is such a big deal, because it messes with what God has created as good. And so some of you may be asking the question, well, wait a second. You're telling me that I shouldn't break peace because that will cause someone else to be hurt or cause someone else to be angry. But wasn't Jesus angry? Didn't he go into the temple and flip over the tables and whip the money changers that were in there taking advantage of the people? And the answer to that is yes. Jesus was angry. He was angry with a righteous anger. And so there are some things that you and I should be angry about in our world, right? There's some things that you and I should be angry about in our world. You should be angry that there are 27 million slaves in our world, and some of them are girls, 13-year-old girls who are sold into sex slavery and are then profited upon, i.e. pornography. You should be mad that that is true, that that is a part of our world. You should be angry that someone would walk into a school or walk into a bar or a club and shoot everyone in there because they're mad at them or they don't like the lifestyle that they're living. Those things should make you mad. You should be angry. But what Jesus is talking about here is the interpersonal relationships where you have walked away from the way that God would want us to walk in relationship with one another. And you've broken peace with your friend. You've broken peace with your classmate. And so if you do or say something that causes someone else to be angry or hurt by you, you have disrupted their relationship with God. And I want you to get that. That when you break peace, it's not just about you. It's not just that they need to get over it. It's that you have damaged and disrupted their relationship with God and your relationship with God. And so the reason why we make peace is because when you break peace with a person, you break peace with God. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 tells us this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And so as we've been speaking, what I've been pointing out to you is that when you break peace, you are hurting that person's relationship with God. And Philippians 2, 3, and 4 is telling you and telling me, telling all of us that what we should do in those moments is make it right. Because God values his relationships with us. And so I have a funny illustration of me personally breaking peace with a very good friend of mine. So every April, the Watermark Student Ministry staff, we have what's called a planning retreat. And so we kind of look back on the year and how everything went, and then we plan for the upcoming school year, right? And so about 2 years ago, it was the night before we had this meeting with the staff and with a couple of our volunteer leaders. And I was trying to do something fun. I was trying to go to Torchy's Tacos and then probably go to see a movie. And so I FaceTimed Anne-Marie Mason, if most of y'all in here should know who she is. I FaceTimed her and I was like, hey, Anne-Marie, you want to come with us to Torchy's and then to see a movie? And she was like, no, I can't. I have to cut fruit up for David for tomorrow. I was like, what? Okay. So I hung up the phone, and I tried to get a lot of other people to come with us to dinner. And I got a group to go together, and Anne-Marie texts me while we're at dinner. She's like, oh, don't worry. I don't have to cut the fruit up anymore. I can come with y'all to dinner and then to the movie. And I was like, nah, just kidding. I've turned it into a guy's night. You're uninvited. This is basically what I know, right? Terrible. I'm a terrible human being. So I uninvite her from the party, right? And I have no idea. But Anne-Marie's at home cutting up bananas and strawberries, and tears are rolling down her cheeks because I uninvited her from this get-together. And so in that moment, what I had done was I had broken peace with her, right? And the point or the message of verses 21 and 22 is that because I've broken peace with her, I've also caused her relationship with the Lord to be damaged. Because she's hurt, she's angry, probably at me for what I did. So that's why Jesus says what he says next in verses 23 and 24. He gives us the how we are to respond when we have been the ones who have broken peace. Right? So the second main point is this. If you have broken peace, making peace is your most important act of worship. We understand why, because when we break peace with a person, we break peace with God. And if you have broken peace, making peace is your most important act of worship. I'll explain that a little more after we read the text. So verses 23 and 24 say this. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And so what Jesus is saying to this Jewish audience is, hey, you guys bring sheep and goats and doves and you offer them as sacrifices for your sins, or offer them in praise and worship to me. And I'm saying that if you know, if you are aware, if your conscience reminds you that you have done something or said something that broke peace with someone else, stop what you're doing and go make peace with that person. If you have broken peace, making peace is your most important act of worship. And so the idea is for us in 2016 is, if you know that you have hurt someone with your words or your actions or your attitude, the next thing that you need to do is not pray, is not go have your quiet time and post it on Instagram, is not to come to church, is not to go serve at Camp Barnabas or serve in South Dallas or wherever, any other good thing. All of those things are good and great and right, but the next act of worship that you need to perform is going to that person and saying, I was wrong, will you forgive me? That's the most spiritual, important act of worship that you can perform. So what does that look like? What does it look like practically to leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to someone that you have broken peace with? I'm glad you asked, because I have the 7 A's for peacemaking that I think are super helpful, super memorable, and you can write them down, read those passages of scripture later on that support each of those points. And so this is a practical how-to. This is what you need to do if you know that you have broken peace with someone else. The first one is ask the Lord and others for self-awareness. Ask the Lord and others for self-awareness. So what does that mean? Like in my situation, right, I uninvited Anne-Marie, and I had no idea that she was hurt or mad at me and that she was crying and cutting up fruit. But the next day, when we were at this meeting, one of the other ladies on staff came and pointed out to me that I was a terrible human being for what I did, right? So she gave me some self-awareness. And so there are two ways that you can become more self-aware. You can pray consistently on a regular basis, Lord, help me to see if I have said or done anything that's been hurtful and broken peace with someone else. So that's number one. And also have friends in your life who are willing and have the permission to call you out and say, hey, that was hurtful, that was mean. You need to ask for forgiveness. The second thing you do is you admit you're wrong. So basically you're saying, hey, what I said, what I did, my attitude, it was wrong. And number three is a very important one, I think, for high schoolers, probably everyone. Avoid if, but, or maybe. And the idea behind that is that when you go to seek forgiveness, when you go to make peace, what you're not saying when you go is, hey, if I hurt your feelings, I'm so sorry. Or, I know I hurt your feelings, but it was because you did this or you said no. You're not going to make a defense for yourself. You're going to admit you're wrong and reconcile that relationship. So avoid using the words if, but, or maybe. Number four, apologize. So basically that's just showing that you're sorry, you're grieving at what you did or what you said. And so you say, hey, I am sorry. But you don't just stop there at I am sorry, because that doesn't require a response from them. That only has to do with you, the person who says, I'm sorry. And so the next step is very, very important to the process of reconciling. And it is asking for forgiveness. So you not only say, I was wrong, but you say, I am sorry. That was terrible of me. But you then go further and say, hey, will you forgive me? You ask a question and you wait for a response. That's how peace is made. You don't make peace by just coming in and saying, I'm sorry, and walking away and expecting everything to be okay. You ask for forgiveness and wait to receive it from that person. Number six, you accept the consequences. Our pastor says all the time, we are free to make our own choices, but we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions, right? We're free to choose to do whatever we want. But what we are not free to do is choose the consequences that come. And so in certain relationships, man, they may accept your apology and forgive you for what you did to them. But maybe that relationship just won't be the same again after that. And what you can do is hope and pray and continue to try to build that relationship. But there are consequences to our actions. And then number seven, you alter your behavior. You don't just go the next week and do or say the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I'll just, you know, admit I was wrong. Avoid if, but, maybe. Ask for forgiveness and I'm good. No. It is a daily decision to continue to be transformed by Christ. It's a daily decision that, hey, that was hurtful. I don't need to say that again. I don't need to do that again. I need to work on just how I act or respond to my friends. And so in the story with Anne-Marie, after I was told that I was a terrible human, I was like, dang, I am a terrible human. And so I went to Anne-Marie and I said, Anne-Marie, I was wrong, and explained how I was wrong. And I said, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? And she forgave me, right? Our relationship has never been the same because I've never FaceTimed her again. That's not true. That's false. But just wanted y'all to get a picture of how you can practically do that. When you know, the moment you know that you have broken peace, your job is to go and make peace. And so moving on to our final point, now that we know why we should make peace as soon as possible, and how we should make peace, because it's our most important act of worship, the final point is this. When should you make peace? When you have been the one that's broken peace, right? Verses 25 and 26 kind of give us the word. The word is in there. Verse 25 says this. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. And so the simple answer to that question, when should I make peace when I've broken peace, is really, really simple. It's this. Are you ready? Right now. Like right now, as you're listening to this message, now is the time that you begin to make peace if you have realized that you have broken peace with someone else. And so the analogy that he gives in verses 25 and 26 is, hey, there are two people who are on their way to the court, right? One person has offended the other person, and they're going to be judged by the judge. And Jesus is saying, hey, before you even get there, make peace with that person as quickly as you can, because you don't want that judgment to come upon you, because you could be turned over to the officer, thrown into prison, and you'll probably have to stay there until you pay every single penny. And I think the analogy or the relation to our relationship with God in that analogy is this. God doesn't want you to have peace until you have made peace. God doesn't want you to have peace until you have made peace. And you hear that and you go, that's crazy. Does that mean that God is up there and he's angry at me because I've broken peace with someone else because I've hurt their feelings? No. What it means is that God sees one of his creations created in his image, hurt and broken or angry because of something that you have said or done. And that's just not okay with the creator of the universe, because he values and loves every single one of us. So breaking peace is attacking God's good creation, and that isn't good. And so if you've broken peace, it says right there, resolve it now, right now. And here's the reality. Unaddressed or unresolved conflict doesn't just go away. And that's why we need to deal with it right now. A lot of us think, man, we had this argument or this debate, and I was mad at them, and they were definitely hurt by words that I said, but that was yesterday. So today I'll just come into the cafeteria and I'll, you know, kind of try to talk to them a little bit to see if they're cool with me or not. And we pretend that everything's okay. We fake peace, right? But unaddressed conflict doesn't just magically go away. In fact, it continues to grow. And so it needs to be addressed. And so for some of you in the room, the application to this message, the application to what you've been hearing, is that you need to text someone right now and say, hey, can we talk? I would love to make peace with you about something that I said, something that I did. Can we talk? For some of you, we're going to dinner afterwards. And for some of you, the most important act of worship that you can do is not to go to dinner and hang with your friends and share how much you learned from this message, but to go to that person's house or invite them out to come to dinner and talk to them off on the side, asking and seeking their forgiveness. That might be the application for you from this message. And if you need a mediator, you have... Most of you have small group leaders, and some of you have trusted, objective friends that can be in there and help to mediate the conversation. And so with me and Anne-Marie, for example, I came to her, I admitted I was wrong, I apologized, and I asked for forgiveness, and she gave that forgiveness to me. And the peace that was broken was erased. Peace was made. And so when you have broken peace, I'm wrapping up, make peace quickly with that person and with the God of peace. And the three points that we looked at are, number one, why? Because when you break peace with a person, you break peace with God. Number two, how? If you have broken peace, making peace is your most important act of worship. And I gave you those seven A's of peacemaking. And number three, when should you make peace? If you've broken peace, right now, like this second. And so this is how I'd love to end. I'd love to end by finishing off that story. So imagine me in the bathroom with the faucet on, trying to wash off the blood, thinking, man, this is going to heal up. I'm just going to put some tissue paper on it, you know, because it kind of helps it to stop bleeding. And imagine that I was still bleeding and I went over and sat on the couch and continued watching my TV show while I was bleeding out. Exactly. You're like, that's the worst idea ever. You'd probably die in a matter of hours. What I needed to do was take drastic action to stop the bleeding. And so some of you in the room, what you need to do is take drastic action in one relationship or several relationships and stop the bleeding. And like I said before, God is so concerned with our relationships with one another and making peace that he wants you and I to make peace as quickly as possible. And I know that he's so concerned with it because God has made peace when our relationship with him was bleeding out, right? Because we sin, because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin passed down to every single human being, and every day we offend him, every day we say or do or act in ways that are displeasing to God. Because of that, our relationship with him was broken and bleeding and damaged. And there's nothing we could do to fix it. And the God of the universe said, hey, I'm going to fix it for them. I'm going to send my son Jesus to come and live a perfect life and die a perfect death and to raise again on the third day so that anyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ can have a mended relationship with me. God made the step to stop the bleeding in the relationship that he had with us. And some of you need to make a similar step to stop the bleeding in the relationships that you have. Hebrews 12:14 tells us this: make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Let me pray that we would. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for the truth that's written in it. Thank you for the fact that you call every single one of us who are believers, who are followers of you, to make peace as quickly as possible with the person that we have broken peace with and to make peace with you. Help us to not just see conflict and peace breaking as a transaction between a human and a human, but help us to see and remember and realize that you are an intricate, important part of every single one of our relationships. God, if there's anyone in this room who has been the cause of broken peace in a friendship, in a relationship, in a family, Lord, I pray that your word tonight spoke to their heart and that they would move to make that decision to resolve that conflict as quickly as possible. We thank you for your grace in the midst of all of this. Thank you that you're patient and kind towards us, even when we mess up over and over again. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.